News Talk's executive chair, thanks to SunGard Availability Services. IT for business that never stops.
Now, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome the Consul General for the Irish Embassy here in the West Coast of America, Mr. Philip Grant. Philip, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me.
Philip, lovely to meet you. Loads of things I want to talk to you about. Maybe you might set the scene for us about the Irish in San Francisco. I think maybe there's a perception that the Irish in America are all one, but I think you have a view that, and I think it's the correct one, that the Irish on the West Coast and their origins are quite different.
They are. I mean, there were two big pipelines that brought the Irish into the West. The first one were the gold fields of California, which happened in the 1840s, right the way through. And then the second one were the copper mines of Butte in Montana. They're the two big Irish communities, Irish-American communities that are out here. And the experience of the Irish in the West was very different from the East Coast. The East Coast is that view we all have coming out of school of the Irish immigrant post-famine. You know, you show up in the coffin ships. He is generally dead within 10 or 15 years. She's left with a big family, raising them on her own, usually in service, diseased, famished, impoverished, in the slums of other people's cities, not wanted, and having to fight, claw, tooth and nail to get up the social strata.
Yeah.
The West Coast, it was very different. There were no big cities here. California had just become American. Gold had just been discovered. In order to make your way out here, you had to have something more. You either had a trade, you had your health, you maybe had a bit of capital. The Irish who came to California were pioneers, and that's how they're remembered.
And when you look at some of the graveyards up by the early gold excavations, they are not paupers' graves.
No, they're very solid pieces of masonry. It's actually a fascinating story. Two places are called Nevada City and Grass Valley. They're there where the Empire Mine is. The Empire Mine is where they found the gold in the rock. And the Empire Mine, another fascinating connection to Ireland, it was owned by the Bourne family. And the Bourne heiress married Vincent's in Cork, an Anglo-Irish family, and they bought Muckross House.
Oh.
And when she died, the Bourne family gifted Muckross House in Killarney to the state. So, and of course, Muckross House today is the core of the national park in Killarney. So Ireland's first national park came out of the gold that came out of the Empire Mine.
Isn't that
and
amazing?
If you go up to the Empire Mine, there are the Irish. They were the blacksmiths. They were the carpenters. They generally weren't the miners. They were the provisioners. And, yeah, their graveyards, they're there from the 1850s, right at the beginning. And these are very solid. These are people who are becoming prosperous, building a new society very, very quickly. You know, there were no slums in San Francisco for the Irish to go to. We built this city.
Yeah.
In many respects, we still build this city because Irish contractors, Irish families, still a huge, you know, people think Silicon Valley. They tend to forget those older strata of Irish involvement here.
Yeah, and when you say construction, when we think Silicon Valley, we think tech, we think all this. But the Irish involved, as you say, in construction, in terms of real estate building, it's still a very big part of what they do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have two cores to our community now. We're very fortunate. We have that older generation, those people who are still involved in those traditional Irish industries. And we have the new. We have the tech. We've seen a huge increase in the number of Irish coming over as companies like Google, like Facebook expand. You know, that natural cross-pollination of people. We've seen it in Seattle for a long time with Microsoft. But we're beginning to replicate it here, too.
Yeah, I wanted to just maybe talk about that for a second because I don't know, are we as a nation clued into the importance of the Googles and the Facebooks and our relationship with them and how important that actually is. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I see it on a daily basis in my office. San Francisco is the fourth busiest visa issuing post in the Irish system, yet we're in a country where the locals don't need visas. So we're issuing the visas to all of those international workers who work for those companies. And we see the flow. We see the flow from our end into Ireland and vice versa from the Irish end back into here. Now, we should never take for granted the fact that companies like Google or Facebook chose to make their international corporate headquarters in Ireland. And we're an island off of the main. In the natural course of events, it wouldn't be something that you might expect. The fact that it happened is an amazing testament to the work, particularly of the IDA, in winning that investment and in showing how Ireland was a base. But again, it didn't come from nowhere. It came from getting Intel, the computer manufacturers in the 80s, and building in those ties, building on those connections. And one of the threads that goes through that is the Irish within those companies.
I'd like to bring you back to that awful night of Bloomsday 2 years ago, the Berkeley balcony tragedy. The role that you personally and the role that the Irish consulate played in that event and its subsequent follow-up, can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure. So we're coming up for the second anniversary of that great tragedy. Again, the response to Berkeley is indicative of the type and depth of the connections that we have. For the last 20 years or so, the government, through the Immigration Support Programme, has been investing back in the diaspora. When I started my career in the foreign ministry in the 90s, I was in Chicago, and we really weren't contributing, certainly not really financial resources, into our Irish community organisations. That's totally been transformed. We invest in networks in the business sense, like the Irish Technology and Leadership Group, like the Irish Networks. We also invest in our basic community support services organisations. In the case of this area, it's the Irish Immigration Centre. And yeah, the consulate played a role of coordinating and leading the response to Berkeley. But so much of the work was done by the Irish Immigration Centre and its volunteers. I like to say that I don't think if I had had the Red Cross working side by side with me, that they would have done as professional a job as the Irish Immigration Centre did. And we were able to call on so much. We were talking about the links with tech. I mean, companies helped us in terms of sourcing accommodation, helping us meet some of the costs initially of that accommodation. They helped us because we were able to pull their workers from planes to get seats that the families could go backwards and forwards. One very generous Irish-American philanthropist actually provided support that allowed us to feed the families for nearly a month.
Yeah.
So it just an incredible amount of... And you saw it at its best. You know, and we've gone on from the tragedy of that day. One of the most important legacies that I will have leaving here doesn't necessarily have something to do with Ireland per se. But we got the law changed in California. We changed their building code. We're in the process of helping to encourage that they change their inspection codes to make sure that what happened then won't happen again to somebody else. You know, it was our misfortune that those were Irish people, but we were very conscious. You know, if it had been Americans, the pressure might have been louder, might have been harder. So how do you bring around the change? And again, you're able to call on, when you're going up to Sacramento and you're meeting the politicians, they're in constituencies where companies have interest in Ireland, where they may have familial ties with Ireland, where there may be a historical link with Ireland. But it opened doors and it allows you to have a conversation with people.
Isn't the tragedy of Berkeley really that it's you know, we're all so close to it, and it was kind of the modern day American dream when you have young kids like that over here just living life, doing what they do, and all that just taken away?
Yeah, and it was right at the start. I mean, they're only here a couple of weeks. They're in Berkeley. We encourage students to go to Berkeley. It's a university town.
Yeah.
You know, they're used to the hijinks that would normally go on. It was on our doorstep. They had everything to live for. They were the most remarkable people, the kids themselves and their families. You know, the night it happened, all you get is information about numbers. Then slowly you get the names, you meet the friends, you meet the families, you hear about their lives. It was an enormous tragedy. And the community, the way in which the community rallied around to help and the way in which the community still rallies around to help is, you know, it's been a glimmer of light in those very, very dark days.
Can I ask you then about the more recent political scenario? The place of California in Trump's America. Just talk to me a little bit about that.
It's fascinating. California is, after Hawaii, the bluest state in the union. There isn't a single Republican in elected state office in California. California's already gone through its immigration debate. It did it in the 1990s. California is extremely reliant on its trade and cultural connections with Mexico, and increasingly with China and with Asia. California's never had to deal with an administration in D.C. that could be at odds with its own interests. previous Republican administrations, Reagan, Nixon, they came from California. Yeah. George Bush came out of Texas, but with a perspective that was very similar to a lot of politicians here. Trump doesn't have any natural ties to California. He's not beholden to any of the interests here. They don't necessarily have the pull and the influence that they would have had. So they're in a unique situation. There are certain issues which for California, if they were to be disrupted, the relationship with Mexico, the relationship with China, immigration, climate change, which is a huge issue in the state of California and a personal concern of the governor. Now, if those areas become controversial, you will see California act. And California is probably exceptional. It's a very coherent, politically solid state. It runs a budget surplus. Yeah. It's already able to invest its own money in very large-scale infrastructure projects, and we're beginning to see that. I mean, they will pick their battles very carefully, but there are undoubtedly going to be points of conflict and points of contention with the new administration.
We'll leave on a lighter note, Philip. Is it true that the barometer of how the Irish are doing in San Francisco and in the West Coast, indeed? Maybe you might tell me how you judge that.
Yeah, I cover 11 states, so it has a Rocky Mountain or a Pacific coastline all the way to Guam. But I like to joke that one of the ways you can tell, because I came here in 2013 where we were still in economic recovery mode. Now, I can tell by the number of lost passports that we see in places like Las Vegas or like Hawaii. I can see it in terms of connectivity. When I came out here with no direct flights, we've now got four, and we have low-cost carriers like WOW and Norwegian doing steps. And I see it, this Easter, very busy for us in the consulate because there were so many more Irish travelling west.
Listen, you really truly are an Irish ambassador, and you've done such great service for Ireland. And thank you so much for your frankness, for your honesty, and for your welcome here to San Francisco. Philip Grant from the Irish Consulate.
Thank you very much.
News Talk's Executive Chair. Thanks to SunGard Availability Services. IT for business that never stops.